Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
State and local news. Protests serve as a reminder of Thu's standing. By Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N, at HearstMP.com. A North Midland neighborhood last week became the setting for a protest unlike any in our community's long history. It was a protest that one of our own, Bob Thu, was a spy for the Chinese Communist Party while living in Midland. Thu is leader of the Midland-based nonprofit China Aid. But if this demonstration was designed to bring any type of local, regional, or national public pressure on Thu and his family, it appears to have backfired. Those in government and religious leadership positions have come forward to back their friend and the person they know to be an advocate for the persecuted. Shameful. Chinese Communist Party is targeting an American citizen, Bob Thu, in America for harassment of his home. Ted Cruz tweeted last week, "Bob is a fearless voice for human rights in China, and the other despots fear him. The Chinese Communist Party is the new evil empire, and we must stand united against them." Fellow Republican Senator Marco Rubio of Florida offered up his own support for Thu. "American citizen who has been a tireless advocate for religious liberty and human rights in China should not be threatened here in the U.S. or anywhere else. Threats from thugs are simply unacceptable." Agitators is how Family Research Council President Tony Perkins described the protesters on his radio show. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. Thu serves as a senior fellow for international religious freedom for the council. 21 Wilberforce founder and president Randall Everett, a national figure with Midland ties, called the agitators a reminder of the serious nature of the warning from a Chinese billionaire Guo Wengui, also known as Miles Guo, as the Reporter Telegram's Caitlin Randall reported last week. Wengui, according to Everett, is in the U.S. on a tourist visa and living in a Manhattan penthouse. Wengui built a following as a blogger under the alias Miles Kwok. The former senior pastor at First Baptist in Midland wrote in his article for the Reporter Telegram, "Beginning in January, he began to target Bob Thu and recently posted a message on YouTube aptly calling on his followers to kill Bob Thu and others he listed on the Global Kill Cheaters campaign, claiming Bob to be a communist spy." Locally, the protesters this week brought an immediate response from Mayor Patrick Payton, who within hours of first reports said that Thu and his family were in a protected location as the FBI and CIA investigate threats against Thu. The backing of Thu could be found on social media, where the support was overwhelmingly positive. Thu has not only been a president and co-founder of the China Aid since 2002, but he's also an associate pastor at Mid-Cities Community Church. There have been unfounded accusations by unqualified individuals in recent weeks falsely claiming that Bob Thu is not a pastor, wrote Daniel Stevens, lead pastor at Mid-Cities. "Pastor Bob Thu has been an integral and vibrant part of our community for almost two decades. Beyond Bob's responsibilities and mission, he has personally participated in our faith community. We have prayed, worshiped, fought, cried, and celebrated together. Bob's humility and sincere faith are unequal among his contemporaries. His love for God, God's Word, and God's creation is evident in his tireless pursuit of justice for all. To some, the protest might seem so 2020, but the reality is alleged agitators might have put a spotlight on a man who's done the most remarkable things." Reporter Telegram to host candidate forums. The MRT will hold Facebook forums for Midland ISD candidates on Tuesday and Thursday. Each group of candidates will get about an hour each. District 1 and 4 forums are at 6 and 7 p.m. on Tuesday, and District 7 and 2 forums are at 6 and 7 on Thursday. City did not report any coronavirus-related deaths this week. There were no coronavirus-related deaths in Midland County this week, the first time since at least July when there was a week without any deaths. During each of the last 2 weeks, the city had reported two. The total number of deaths in Midland County remains at 85. While COVID-19-related deaths trended down, the number of new cases stayed level week over week. The Midland Health Department reported 44 on Friday, which brought the weekly total of cases to 233, which is three fewer than the previous week. It was the second straight week with total number of cases greater than 200. During the pandemic, there have been 4,176 coronavirus cases. The health department also reported 1,438 active cases and 2,433 recoveries. Obituaries and death notices. Barbara Ann Lloyd, born January 6, 1932, awoke in the presence of God on the morning of September 16th at the age of 88. Friends and family members are invited to attend the memorial service on Saturday, October 17th at 10 a.m. at the Chapel of First Baptist Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Barbara Tom Jewell was born October 5th, 1937. A private internment service will be held at the Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity. A memorial service to celebrate Barbara's life will be held on October 14th. Time and place are pending. Memorials may be directed to Midland Memorial Foundation. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. On Thursday, October 1st, Daniel Hernandez, loving husband, amazing dad, and best grandpa in the whole world, passed away at the age of 60. He was surrounded by his family and loved ones through his life. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, October 24th at 3 p.m. Flowers may be sent to Sparkman Hillcrest Funeral Home in Dallas. Mavis Ruth Kramer, 88, passed peacefully on October 6th. She was born December 15th, 1931, in Ovalle, Texas. A private service is pending. The family thanks all of you for your prayers and thoughts and asks that flowers to post her memory and thoughts at the funeral home site. Arrangements were made with Luella Garcia Pipkin of Funeral Home. On October 4th, Nancy Wontuck passed away in Midland, comforted by her husband and son. She was 55 years old. She was born August 6, 1965, in Harlingen. In lieu of these unusual times, a small family service will be held for Nancy in Burney, Texas. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests donations be made to Hospice of Midland or a charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Royce Dale Marriott passed away October 3rd at the age of 82. A celebration of Royce's life will be held Monday, October 12th at 10 a.m. at Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home. Internment will follow at Rest Haven. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Alvin Lawrence Keith, age 60 of Midland, passed away on October 3rd. A graveside service will be held at Evergreen Cemetery in Stanton on Thursday, October 15th at 2 p.m. Funeral arrangements are under the direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Francisca Hernandez, 58, of Fort Stockton, passed away on October 8th at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas. Funeral services will be Tuesday, October 13th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe in Fort Stockton, with Father Hatch officiating. Burial will take place at Fort Stockton Catholic Cemetery.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, October 11th, 2020. Section A. Odessa IDEA IDEA campuses on track for fall 2021 by Ruth Campbell. With one school up and going, IDEA Public Schools is looking toward opening campuses in Odessa in August of 2021. Founded in 2000, IDEA Public Schools has grown from a small school with 150 students to the fastest growing network of tuition-free pre-kindergarten through 12th grade public charter schools in the country. Currently, the network serves nearly 66,000 college-bound students in 120 schools across Texas and Louisiana, its website said. Bethany Solis, Executive Director for IDEA Permian Basin, said construction is underway and on track for the site in Odessa that will be called IDEA Yukon, located at Kate Reed Drive and Yukon Avenue in the Parks Bell Ranch area. The following year, Solis said IDEA hopes to open its second site in southwest Odessa. A full school site, or a campus, has two schools. An elementary, which we often refer to as an academy, is K through 5. In some schools, we also have pre-K, and then secondary is middle school and high school. We call that our preparatory school, and that's 6th through 12th, Solis said. The campus in Odessa won't start with pre-kindergarten. We often add pre-K to schools where the demand is high. We also know that ECISD is offering full-day pre-K. We are unable to at this point, and so we'll see with ECISD offering full-day pre-care if there's even a demand for pre-K, Solis said. In my experience, full-day pre-K is very high in demand in most communities, she added. The Odessa campuses will serve any students who live within a 50-mile radius, so any student across the city of Odessa can enroll, as well as students from Andrews or other surrounding towns. But their parents have to drive them. Our goal in both Midland and Odessa is to distribute schools in a way that any family in the city proper can get to an IDEA school within a 15-minute drive, Solis said. Brian Bell was really supportive of the idea of IDEA building in the subdivision and was able to give us land at a really generous price, she added. For the Yukon site, Candace Garza has been hired as the academy or elementary principal, and Craig Gutierrez will be the college prep or secondary principal. An assistant principal of operations, Hector Ramirez, has been hired as well. Garza and Gutierrez are in the principal in residence program training at Travis right now, Solis said. She said Garza is originally from the Rio Grande Valley and has spent most of her career in Oklahoma, where she was an administrator and assistant principal. Gutierrez is most recently from Houston and has been an administrator there for many years, Solis said. Ramirez is coming from Austin and has been assistant principal of operations for KIPP public charter schools for many years. Because of the region's chronic educator shortages, Solis said the initial commitment made to the community was that IDEA would find people outside the region. We made a really concerted effort to be part of the solution and not make the problem worse. That does not mean we're not looking for great talent locally. There's something special that local talent offers because they deeply understand our community in a way that is hard for others at first. But we will continue to really actively recruit, so we're keeping our commitment on that front, Solis said. IDEA also has partnered with some international teacher recruitment agencies and has about 10 teachers lined up from the Philippines. They were going to teach at Travis, and then there was a visa moratorium, which Solis said just got lifted recently. They've already been trained. They spent several weeks of training virtually over the summer, and we're hoping that many of them can come teach in Odessa, as well as fill some vacancies in Midland, Solis said. They have found Relay Graduate School of Education to be a good source of teachers as well, she added. IDEA starts with kindergarten, first and second, at the elementary level, and has about 120 students per grade level. For the college prep or secondary side, they start with sixth grade and add a grade level a year to each school until they are full scale. We only have applications open for those grade levels, Solis said. If we have a ton of interest for the other grades in addition to those, then there is a world in which we could consider adding more grades. But for now, the plan is grades K, 1, 2, and 6th grade. That's our traditional launch model. Travis Elementary in Midland does not represent the traditional model because it was a struggling or transformation school. The school is a partnership between Midland ISD and IDEA. We wanted to make sure that every single family that had students zoned to this school had the opportunity for their children to still be in that school. So that's why we opened with all grade levels at Travis. We'll be adding 7th grade next year, and we'll go all the way to 12th at IDEA Travis. The facility will be expanded to accommodate the upper grades. We're finalizing plans for that. That's another one of the benefits of the partnership, is we get to use an existing MISD building, and then MISD students will have an opportunity to continue through 12th grade in a building that we currently plan to build on, Solis said. It won't be on the actual campus. We're looking at a couple of land options, either exactly adjacent or just across the street, so it will be within walking distance, she added. IDEA's motto is college for all, but not every student wants to attend a four-year school. Solis said students can attend community colleges, but they do push the four-year schools for the benefits. Our last graduating class, we've had 100% of our students get accepted to college and matriculate to college for the past, I believe, 14 years, minus 1 year. We had 1 year where we had one student who didn't. Last year, we graduated just under 1,500 seniors across multiple schools, and our typical numbers are 98% of them attend a four-year institution, and then the remaining 2% attend an associate's program, a technical vocational school. We pretty unapologetically push four-year simply because our fundamental mission is about equity. And the whole reason we began is because it doesn't matter what educational outcome you look at, whether it's third grade reading scores or bachelor's degree attainment or anywhere in between, there is consistently a wide disparity in achievement of those outcomes between rich and poor, between white and black and brown. And that's the reason IDEA began, Solis said. The founders, Tom Torkelson and Joanne Gama, were teaching fourth grade and found the students were low performing. They wondered how this could happen in the United States when students can do it if given a chance. We believe that there is no better anti-poverty strategy than a bachelor's degree. When people attain bachelor's degrees, that's when lifetime earnings, that's when healthcare outcomes, that's when low incarceration rates, that's when it really kicks into a whole new level. So while we will never be the ones who tell a child you're not college material, you're not a bachelor's degree material, but we do have some students, a very small number, who do choose a different path. College is the non-negotiable, and because of our efforts, almost every child chooses a four-year program, she said. The culture in Odessa tends to be that when students are old enough, they can work in the oil field and make more money than if they go to college. I think our current state of the economy reminds us that that is fragile, Solis said. She acknowledges that the oil field is the exception to earning potential. In most professions, a college degree generally guarantees higher earnings. We're an anomaly in so many ways in our community, so I won't argue that, but one of the things that we do a lot of work with communities and with our students is money is part of it. But Solis said it's not just about money. When you look at how quickly and how deeply incarceration rates fall with a college degree, a 24-year-old with a degree is expected to live on average 10 years longer than a 25-year-old without a college degree. You just look at these outcomes over and over again, and it's hard to make a case to not at least have IDEA's approach as an option, because a college education has so many individual and social benefits that we want more of that in our community, Solis said. We want our children to at least know they can do it, have a way to do it, even if they're zoned to a failing school. There is a way that you can get a world-class education and go to college. IDEA is a public school. There is no tuition and no admission requirements, Solis said. They also educate special education students. There has been some controversy with IDEA in the past year or so. There were media reports such as spending on private jets and getting grants through political favors. Solis said Torkelson, who was also CEO at the time, stepped down. Gama, who had been leading the organization alongside Torkelson, has stepped into his role. We, over the past almost year, have made lots of changes. So our governing board has enacted about 30 different financial oversight policies to make sure, again, that there is full financial oversight and that we are always using the funds that we've been entrusted with by the public in a way that engenders public trust, Solis said. I think the change in leadership also signals important change, and that really sums it up. In July 2019, at the start of IDEA in the region, a group of Permian Basin companies, foundations, and individuals from Ector and Midland counties contributed nearly $55 million in startup funds for IDEA Public Schools to establish a presence in the region. The Scarborough Foundation donated $21 million, Abel Hanger Foundation $5.5 million, and the Henry Foundation $2 million. Odessa businessman Colin Sewell is leading efforts to raise up to $10 million from individuals and organizations in Odessa, a news release said. Permian Strategic Partnership, a group of 20 Permian energy companies, committed $16.5 million. The funding will support the opening of 14 schools at 7 sites across Midland and Odessa by the 2024-25 school year, the release said. Solis said they don't think they will ask for anything more. When we raised $55 million, she said, it was because the financial model at the time, given labor costs, given cost of living, construction costs here in the region, that was the start we needed to see us through 5 years of operations. Our model at IDEA is in any given region to be self-sustaining financially by the 5th year. Then we continue to fundraise, but it's for supplementary needs. We partnered with an international teacher recruitment agency, so we've got about 10 teachers lined up from the Philippines, and they were actually going to come teach at Travis, but there was a whole visa moratorium, first the U.S., then the Philippines. It just got lifted 2 days ago. They've already been trained. They spent several weeks of training virtually over the summer, and we're hoping that many of them can come teach in Odessa, as well as fill some vacancies in Midland. We have talked with OC about their partnership with Hutch and their teacher education program. We also have Relay Residency that's been our top source for top teachers for attracting them from outside the region in its partnership with the Relay School of Graduate Education. And there's a 2-year residency when high-performing new teachers earn their master's while training in a very supportive residency situation. Our experience has been they've been the best new teachers that we've ever had. They're just so high performing and ready in ways that new teachers normally aren't. Solis said the partnership with MISD has been wonderful so far. I'm very, very open to more partnership opportunities across the region. Partnerships always have hiccups. They're tough. When you have two organizations that work together that have different approaches and styles. Given that, I could not have asked for a better partner than Midland ISD. They're doing it for all the right reasons. They invited us because they knew, they agreed, like we did, that children in the Travis attendance zone in Midland deserved something way better than what they were getting. And when you have two organizations as similar or different as they may be that are working together truly for students, really amazing things can happen. It has been a really remarkable partnership thus far. Asked what it thought of a new charter school coming to Odessa next year, Ector County ISD Communications Officer Mike Atkins said the district is focused on what it is doing. Ector County ISD is proud to offer parents many academic choices for their kids and give students opportunities to be part of award-winning extracurricular activities. We have 45 campuses, nearly 32,000 students enrolled, and we are focused on a number of strategic initiatives we believe are going to transform our school district and our community, Atkins said in a statement. Local News Roundup. Honor the Blue. Honor the Blue, a rally to honor Odessa Midland law enforcement, has scheduled two events from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at the Ector County Coliseum, Barn A, 4201 Andrews Highway, and October 24th at Momentum Bank Ballpark parking lot, Midland. The Odessa Chuckwagon Gang will be serving lunch to members of the Odessa and Midland Police and Sheriff's Departments. Lunch is available to the public for $15 per plate, with proceeds going to Honor the Blue. Bring your signs and wear your shirts to support the men and women who serve and protect. Donations are appreciated and will go toward needs in all departments. For more information, visit honortheblue.today. Concert. Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has scheduled the Permian Basin String Quartet, Permutations and Combinations, from 3 to 5 p.m., November 1st, at First United Methodist Church, 300 North Main in Midland. The quartet will present Carrot Revolution by Gabriella Smith, String Quartet No. 1 by George Walker, and String Quartet No. 12, American, by Antonin Dvorak. Tickets are $15 for general admission and free for students. Masks are required. Purchase tickets at the door or online mosc.org. Quick hits. Call for artist nominations. Nominations are now open for 2021 and 22 Texas State Musician, State Poet Laureate, and State Visual Artists 2D and 3D. Texans are invited to nominate qualified artists. Deadline for nominations is Thursday. Complete details and the nomination form are available at www.arts.texas.gov/nominate. For more information about the Texas Commission on the Arts, visit www.arts.texas.gov. Live concert. Nick's Nights, Live Music and Comedy, will present live in concert Pat Green with opener comedian Darren Streblow, October 22nd at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main in Midland. Doors open at 6 p.m. and dinner starts at 6:30 p.m. VIP tables for six people include dinner from the barn door and two drinks of choice. Tickets start at $99 and limited to 900 total. For tickets or more information, visit tinyurl.com/y4wd4psu. Obituaries and death notices for Sunday, October 11th. Francisco Xavier Chacon, Sr. Francisco Xavier Chacon, Sr. of Lubbock, formerly of Odessa, passed away October 8th at the age of 65. He was born July 31st, 1955, in Presidio to Alfonso and Benita Chacon. He married Norma Cruz in 1981. He was preceded in death by his parents, a brother, Alfonso Chacon Jr., sister, Delma Alvarez, a nephew, and several nieces. Xavier is survived by his wife, Norma, son, Francisco Chacon Jr., daughters, Liliana, Selena Chacon, and Adriana Chacon, daughter-in-law Margaret Garza, sisters Gloria and husband Charlie Chavez, Viola and husband Oscar Ramirez, and Gracie and husband Jose Rodriguez, and a brother Hector Chacon, 4 grandchildren, a stepbrother Luis Alfonso, stepsisters Jackie Chacon, Maribel Chacon, and Linda Chacon, and multiple nieces and nephews. A graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, October 12th at Ector County Cemetery in Odessa. Epimenio Salinas Jr. Epimenio Salinas Jr., 74, of Edinburgh, passed away October 6th in Odessa. Visiting and rosary schedule is as follows. Monday, October 12th, 1 to 4 p.m., family and friends. 4 to 7 p.m., drive-through viewing. Tuesday, October 13th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., family and friends. 7 p.m., rosary at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. The viewings on Monday and Tuesday will be held at Martinez Funeral Home. Masks must be worn at all times, and only 40 people are allowed at one time. Visitation will be conducted by rotation only. 50 people only will be allowed at the rosary, which will be held in the chapel of St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Funeral services and mass will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, October 13th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church in Odessa, with Father Chavez officiating. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home. Epimenio was born in Edinburgh to Epimenio Salinas Sr. and Inez Castaneda, December 1, 1945. He married Angelita Salinas in 1968 in Hereford, and they were married 52 years. Epimenio is preceded in death by his parents, a brother Gennaro Salinas, sister Romanita Ortega, sister Francesca Suarez, sister Nina Garza, brother Donato Salinas, brother Albino Salinas, brother Domingo Salinas, brother Juan Salinas, brother Gennaro Salinas II, his son Jorge Salinas, a grandson Joshua Solorzano, and a great-granddaughter. Epimenio is survived by his wife, a son, Eddie Salinas, Rosemary Dominguez, his daughter, and Joey Dominguez, a son-in-law, Pime Salinas, a son, brother Lalo Salinas, sister Lupe Castro, brother Rodolfo Salinas, brother Arturo Salinas, brother Alfredo Salinas, brother Nicholas Sharon Priscilla Edge. Sharon Priscilla Edge, 77, of Odessa, passed away October 7th. She was born December 23rd, 1942, in San Antonio. She is preceded in death by her parents, Roy and Eunice Bullard, her husband, Samuel Edge Sr., her second husband, Richard Jenkins, sister, Royce Black, and a grandson. She is survived by her daughter, Stacy Barham, and husband, Brett, her son, Samuel Edge Jr., her son, Scott Edge, and wife, Angela, and 4 grandchildren. A memorial will be held at Sunset Memorial Gardens Tuesday, October 13th at 2 p.m. Death notices. Flory Nell Prince. Flory Nell Prince, 79, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 3rd. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, October 13th at Prayer House Church of God, Christ. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section, with Elder Charles E. Turner officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Rafael Lujan Nieto. Rafael Lujan Nieto, 70, of Odessa, died Thursday, October 8th. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Tuesday, October 13th at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, the Odessa 2 section, with Father Frank Chavez officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Darren Wayne Bentley. Darren Wayne Bentley, 58, of Odessa, died Tuesday, October 6th in Lubbock. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Francisca Hernandez. Francisca Hernandez, 58, of Fort Stockton, died Thursday, October 8th in Dallas. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. October 13th at Our Lady of Guadalupe in Fort Stockton. Burial will immediately follow at Fort Stockton Catholic Cemetery, with Father Lorenzo Hatch officiating. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Lloyd Horrell. Lloyd Horrell, 64, died Saturday, October 10th in Greenwood. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Bobby Joe Jackson. Bobby Joe Jackson, 97, of Odessa, died Wednesday, October 7th. A graveside service is scheduled for 2 p.m. October 13th at Murray Memorial Cemetery. Arrangements are by Frank W. Wilson Funeral Home of Odessa. Wilma Ann Price Jordan. Wilma Ann Price Jordan, 85, of Odessa, died Friday, October 9th. Funeral service is scheduled for 3 p.m. Tuesday, October 13th at Church of Christ in Pecos, with Pastor Jorge Ruiz officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Gilbert Munoz Minjares. Gilbert Munoz Minjares, 68, of Odessa, died Thursday, October 8th. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. October 12th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, October 12th, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MISD Candidates to Discuss Issues at Facebook Forums, by Stuart Doreen. The Reporter Telegram will host four forums to be broadcast on our Facebook page for those running for Midland ISD School Board. The discussions about education in Midland will take place Tuesday and Thursday, and each district will have about 55 minutes to an hour. Candidates have been invited to the following forums: Districts 1 and 4 at 6 and 7 p.m. respectively on Tuesday, and Districts 7 and 2 at 6 and 7 p.m. respectively on Thursday. My expectation is not for these to be anything like you have seen so far. The Reporter Telegram has a history of putting on substantive presentations for Midland's voters, i.e. the School Bond Forum last year, and we believe these will live up to the high bar we have set for ourselves. Unfortunately, these will not take place in front of a live audience. That is the price for doing business in a COVID world. Each candidate may have up to four people in attendance, but the rest of Midland will have to watch online. What you will see are detailed conversations about education in Midland, what is going right and what isn't going as well, how we got to this point, and how we can do better. This will be about the back and forth and should give viewers an idea who really has their pulse on education in Midland. At this point, we know that hiring a superintendent is crucial, and academic performance is every candidate's number one priority. Now comes the fun part, having each candidate tell us how things are going to be different with him or her on the board. This community has an unbelievable opportunity in front of it, as the next school board will select a new superintendent. The only downside here is in the possible lack of imagination of what can be done to move forward education in Midland. That heavy responsibility will fall on the shoulders of 7 people. Are they up to the challenge? Is it possible they will make the same mistakes that have been made during this downturn of education in Midland? Do they even have a good understanding of how the district got to its current state? We will find out. Please join us. This is a series of 2 articles under the headline Up for the Debate. These are discussions by the Democratic candidate for Texas 11th Congressional District, John Mark Hogg, and the Republican candidate, August Pfluger, ahead of a debate tonight hosted by Basin PBS. The first article is entitled, Hogg, Stopping Pandemic Will Restore Economy Oil Market, by Caitlin Randall. The candidates for Texas's 11th Congressional District will square off in Midland tonight at a debate hosted by Basin PBS. Ahead of that debate, Democratic candidate John Mark Hogg discussed how ending the coronavirus pandemic would bring back a strong economy and oil industry. In an interview with the Reporter Telegram, Hogg advocated for a national strategy to attack and stop the spread of COVID-19. The most important thing we need to focus on right now is stopping the pandemic, stopping the spread of it, he said. Until we do that, the economy is only going to improve slightly. It will go up a little bit, then go back down again as the pandemic continues to surge. Hogg said that until the pandemic is controlled, the economy will not go back to full speed and demand for oil will remain low, crippling the oil and gas industry. He said a national strategy could involve coordination between national and state leaders to increase funding for coronavirus testing and testing sites, making testing more widely available. The key to controlling the pandemic is ensuring that those who have the virus are aware of it and are quarantining, he said. I know it's demanding on people. It's inconvenient, Hogg said. But it's what we need to do for the health of our country and the health of our economy. He said he would also consider legislation that on a temporary basis would provide funding for oil and gas companies to keep the industry going over the next few years, which will likely see oil prices and demand remain low. What we need to remain is the infrastructure, he said. The longer the industry is down, the more infrastructure we lose, the fewer drilling rigs there will be, the more talent and labor we lose because they go into other industries. A national policy on increasing and sustaining commodity prices for oil and gas could also help the market, he said. Hogg pointed to Pioneer Natural Resources and other companies that have advocated for pro-rationing production. Hogg ran unopposed for the Democratic nomination in a race that saw 10 candidates vying to be Republican candidate. He said efforts to spread his message in a traditionally Republican district were curtailed by the pandemic, but he focused on a virtual campaign that included daily Facebook Live conversations with voters. Although Texas has been a red state since 1976, several polls have shown Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden leading against incumbent President Donald Trump. Even polls for the U.S. Senate race in Texas show a close race, with incumbent John Cornyn ahead of Democrat M.J. Hager by single digits. He said he wouldn't dare to dream Texas could turn blue, but thought it was a realistic possibility. When asked if he would work with Trump if they were both to win their respective elections, Hogg said he would work with anybody, as long as it was in the best interest of his constituents. My whole plan is to work with Republicans and Democrats alike on issues that we have a common interest in and that would benefit this area, he said. This article is entitled Pfluger, Protecting Oil Industry Will Bring Back Strong Economy, by Caitlin Randall. Ahead of the debate between the candidates for Texas's 11th Congressional District, Republican August Pfluger discussed how he plans to advocate for Midland following the oil market crash caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Pfluger said he'll protect the oil industry by preventing a ban on fracturing and the passage of other environmental regulations that are very, very harmful to the oil and gas sector. Pfluger said he set up a task force comprised of industry leaders in Midland and Odessa who have met monthly for the last several months. we've gotten into some great topics that could result in good legislation to protect this critical national security level industry, he said in an interview with the Reporter Telegram. Pfluger said he's also arranged meetings between industry leaders and personnel in President Trump's administration, including the National Economic Council and at the U.S. Department of Energy. Among those meetings orchestrated by Pfluger were between oil and gas leaders and White House officials earlier this year when activity by Saudi Arabia and Russia further threatened the oil market. As someone who wasn't even elected at that time, we put together a number of elected officials and a number of administration officials to listen to what we here in the Permian believe is important, he said. I will absolutely continue to do that in Congress and continue to advocate for a strong oil and gas industry. Pfluger, a San Angelo resident and former U.S. Air Force fighter pilot, beat out 9 other candidates vying for the Republican nomination during the March primary. The competition included former Midland City Council member J. Ross Lacey and former Midland Mayor J.D. Faircloth. Tonight, he'll face off against Democratic candidate John Mark Hogg for the second time, and the first time in Midland. Pfluger said he plans to differentiate himself from Hogg by focusing on his military background and his upbringing in a ranching family. I've served in the military, worked in the White House at the highest levels of national security apparatus, he said. I understand how oil and gas and agriculture fit into the national security dialogue and how important they are to our economy. Although District 11 has been traditionally Republican, Mike Conaway was reelected in 2018 with 80% of the vote. National polls show Trump, a Republican, trailing Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Pfluger pointed to similar poll results in 2016 and said he believes most of the polls conducted are biased and use selective sampling. He said he's confident Trump will win re-election. When asked if he thought he could go work with Biden when they were both to win their respective elections, Pfluger said it was a difficult question to answer. He wants to kill the oil and gas industry, he said. He wants to bring more regulations and more government and do things that are not in line with what District 11 believes. This is the obituary column, Monday, October 12, 2020. Barbara Tom Joel. Barbara Tom Joel was born on October 5, 1937, to Matty Zimmerman Tom and George Ellison Tom, a pioneer ranching family who settled in Andrews County in the early 1900s. She is survived by her 2 daughters, whom she worshipped, Tricia Joel Mitchie and husband Earl, and Shelley Joel Smith and her husband Chip, her 4 grandchildren, 2 great-granddaughters. She is survived by her brother, James Robert Tom Kay of Burney, Texas, and numerous nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her parents, Matty and Ellison Tom, her brother, Ellison Tom Jr., her sister, Rosnell Tom Cherry, and several nieces and nephews. Her family would like to thank Hospice of Midland as well as her precious caregivers, whom she loved dearly, Maricela Gonzalez and Maria Torres, as well as her caring friends from Trinity Provider Services. The family will have a private interment service at Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity. A memorial service to celebrate Barbara's wonderful life will be held on Wednesday, October 14th. Time and place are pending. Memorials may be directed to Midland Memorial Foundation, Barbara Tom Joel Endowment Fund, 400 Rosalind Redfern Grover Parkway, Midland, Texas, 79701, or Episcopal Church of the Holy Trinity, 1412 West Illinois Street, Midland, Texas, 79701. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Wells Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com.
Death notice from the Odessa American for Monday. Jorge Antonio T. Dominguez, 45, died Thursday, October 8th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
This is the Dear Abby column. It is entitled, Nightly Dinner with Older Sister is Too Much Togetherness. Dear Abby, I am 25 and live with my parents. My 28-year-old sister lives in a condo about 10 minutes away. She just graduated from school and moved back here, which means she doesn't have many friends in the city. For the last 5 months, she has been coming over for dinner like clockwork every day and every weekend. I'm still finding ways to be social during quarantine, but my sister doesn't seem able to find other means to meet people. Seeing this much of her is, well, too much. She demands attention, practically forces us to entertain her, and gets upset when the dinner my parents are cooking doesn't meet her specifications. At her age, spending this much time with your parents seems quite frankly unhealthy. I'm scared to bring it up because she's hypersensitive. How do I avoid another several months of lockdown with a person who doesn't even live with me? Signed, Overwhelmed in Oregon. Dear Overwhelmed, this isn't a subject you should address with your sister, but is something to discuss privately with your parents. Whether you draw the line and encourage your sister to become less dependent is something they might want to consider. When her company becomes more than you can handle, excuse yourself, go to your room, and avail yourself of other ways to be social by firing up your computer and visiting with friends. It would also be a kindness for you to suggest ways she too can network with people in her field or who have common interests. Dear Abby, every day when my husband comes home, he takes off his shoes to relax. He works hard outdoors more than 10 hours daily. His feet smell horrible, unbearable to be around. We have tried insoles, baking soda, foot sprays, and even health checks, which helped but didn't get rid of the problem. He gets offended when I ask him to change his socks and wash his feet. To him, I'm out of line to continually point it out, but I can't even sit in the same room with him. Help! Signed, Stinking Tired in the South. Dear Stinking Tired, there is a name for your husband's very common medical condition. It's bromidiosis, and it is fixable. It's a result of sweat and the growth of bacteria and possibly fungus. Your husband should discuss this again with his doctor. Directions for treating his condition are available online, but they are longer than my column can accommodate. Doing a search on healthline.com would be a good place to start. He should also carry an extra pair of shoes and socks and change them in the course of the workday. Let's hope that from now on your husband will put his best foot forward. Dear Abby, I want to donate to organizations that do good work. My question is, where can I find out which charities put all of the donations toward their cause rather than to staff and fundraising? I read years ago that a well-known charity paid an exorbitant salary to the person in charge who was already wealthy. Signed, Giving in New Jersey. Dear Giving, go online and search Charity Navigator. It's the largest evaluator of charities in the United States and provides reliable data on more than 1.8 million charities and nonprofits. Many people use it to gauge how their contributions will be spent before they donate, and sometimes that information is a real eye-opener.
Jackal and Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note: Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label that astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Libra and a moon in Cancer. Happy birthday for Friday, October 9, 2020. Multi-talented, sensitive, and inspirational, you have a penetrating gaze that sees into others' lives. Extremely magnetic, you do not have to please quite as much. This year is a great success and the finale of a not-so-great relationship. If single, you are variously involved, sometimes when you shouldn't be. No serious commitment until next April. If attached, you're bound at the hip. Libra is the best hip partner. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. It's a poignant day. You will communicate better with authority figures at work. You'll be aware of how family traits affect you. Family history can provide clues to maintaining health and well-being. It's easier to enlist cooperation and support from others. Tonight, relax. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. Your schedule is full. You'll use words in a clever, convincing way. Your judgment is good. Make choices and commitments. Don't let yourself become scattered. Concentrate. It is very important to return all phone calls and emails promptly. Tonight, a surprise call. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. Be receptive to a new work location. A project you've contemplated is worth pursuing. Extra effort extended today leads to future benefits. There could be some new developments at work to analyze. Tonight, thoughts and conversation revolve around money matters. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. It's a time to be assertive and seek what you most want. An awareness of your inner gifts and potentials surfaces. You have much energy and strength today. Resist the temptation to vanquish an old adversary if it arises. Tonight, pour energy into constructive projects. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Today you'll be vibrant and sensitive. Psychic energies are high, and you could experience telepathy with a loved one. Allow a little slack in your schedule. Projects can take longer than you expect. Tonight, you might need extra sleep. Try to go to bed early. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 3 stars. Laugh at gossip and scandal. Be discreet about what you say and to whom. There might be changing relationships in your social circle. Wait until the alliances are more settled before voicing your allegiance. Tonight, a partner could make important choices. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Today generates a need for freedom of expression. You'll be seeking an outlet for your inner enthusiasm. An old friend puts in a kind word. You can combine friendly interaction with business matters. Tonight, your pleasant impression opens doors to what you've long deserved. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 2 stars. Ask yourself which issues genuinely matter. Dreams can provide clues to inner guidance. Direct your tremendous emotional energy toward constructive outlets. Talk over feelings with others and give them a chance to explain their viewpoints if you're upset. Tonight, tension-free. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. You will do some investigative work to solve a mystery. Today brings help from hidden sources. You will have a sense of spiritual guides and entities watching over you. You will discover hidden aptitudes. Tonight, in wonderment at the day you've just had. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Today you insist on fairness. This is annoying to a certain someone who is tempted to overlook awkward details. Stand your ground. Your ethical attitude wins admiration in the end. Others are loyal. An important new partnership can be forged. Tonight, making a difference. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. Health and fitness come up strongly today. You might be critical of yourself and want to overcome any unhealthy habits or shortcomings. Have faith that as long as you do your best, all will be well. Tonight, your sense of humor helps a great deal. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 3 stars. There's a chance to escape from responsibilities for a time. Separate work into small segments and take breaks to avoid fatigue. Be aware of how emotions and attitudes affect your work. A pet needs extra tender, loving care today. Tonight, play with friends. Born today, director Jacques Tati, 1907, baseball player Joe Pepitone, 1940, musician John Lennon, 1940.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.